listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. It's a Ruminations Thursday, September the 10th in the year of our Lord 2017. And being a Rumination Thursday means we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Good morning, Pastor Baker. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and we're going to be talking about an important subject that I think a lot of Christians are talking about, and there's quite a variety of opinion on this, and this is the jailing of Kim Davis for refusing to give out marriage licenses for gay marriages. And I understand you've done a little bit of work on this.
Yes, you know, I listened to your broadcast on Friday when you brought some of that was brought up, and one of your listeners brought up how, you know, as a clerk, she should have just resigned and got out of the way if she didn't want to do it. And that caused me to take another look at the scriptures, because in an instance, I, as you know, last Thursday, I agreed with the fact that she should be issuing a license. But the more I got to searching the scriptures, I said, there's a whole other aspect to this. There's a whole other story. And one of my favorite Bible stories is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three minor government officials who stood up and said no to a decision.
And that was a governmental decision that they, you know, were to follow, and they refused to follow it. And what happened to them?
Well, they try to get them all burned up over the issue.
A fiery furnace, yes. Didn't work. In fact, one of their friends ended up in a similar situation.
Yes, Daniel. A few chapters later, you know, we come out of Daniel chapter 3, the three men in the fiery furnace, and Daniel ended up in a lion's den for praying.
Yeah, the guys against them said, well, fire didn't work, let's try lions.
Yeah.
And in both cases, they were thrown into the fire, namely the enemies, and also to the lions. And the lions didn't have any trouble having a feast on them.
And I think one of the things, yes, and I think one of the key verses that we always need to keep in mind is Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the fire, he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve other gods or worship the golden image that you set up. So, you know, really from a Christian's point of view, you know, we serve God. And if it serves his purposes to deliver us, fine. If it serves his purposes that we go to jail and things of that, then we go.
Yes, we're taking calls on this Kim Davis situation. If you would like to call in, St. Louis number is 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. You know, Christians, it may seem odd, but even in the Bible, they would disobey any government order that did not allow them to witness. For example, remember the apostles were put into prison because they refused to obey the government in keeping quiet about Jesus.
Right. And you get that famous passage in Acts 4:12 that Jesus is that name. It's the name above all names given among men whereby we must be saved.
One of the ways I really get to figure things out, because when this first happened, I wasn't quite sure, like you were, which side I would want to come down on for Kim Davis. And so what I like reading about and listening to are individuals who think what she did is wrong, and therefore I want to listen to their arguments, because if they have arguments that could persuade me that she's wrong, then I would change my mind. But I'm looking here at an article by Michael Gerson from the Washington Post. In fact, the opinion page of the Post-Dispatch, at least for Wednesday, September the 9th, 2015, have both opinions by Washington Post, which is a very liberal periodical, against Kim Davis. But here's one of the things that is mentioned why she was wrong, and then you tell me if you have any problem with this. Michael Gerson says, there is no serious case to be made for the right of public officials to break laws they don't agree with, even for religious reasons. Of course, that never happened in the history of the United States.
Yeah, that was rather interesting because he tries to say the Dred Scott decision has no factor into it. You know, you had the slavery issue that was going on.
Yes, can you imagine in Nazi Germany that you, as a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, you should not have been speaking out against the government in gassing Jews in ovens, because that was the law of the land, and you're not supposed to, even for religious reasons, break that law.
Right, and some place the number somewhere around 750,000 to 1,000,000. German Christians that were put in concentration camps because they refused to go along with that law, or they aided in trying to hide and protect Jewish citizens.
Yes. Another writer from the Washington Post, of course, Dana Milbank, he says this: when a person puts his personal beliefs above their responsibilities as public service, that's not civil disobedience, it's an abuse of power. Now, you and I both have doctors and nurses in our congregations that we have ministered to, and guess what? They oppose abortion, and according to this individual, therefore, when they put their personal beliefs above their responsibilities in obeying the government, guess what? It's an abuse of power.
Right, and therein lies where I'm starting to evolve and change my position on this whole thing about whether she should or should not issue out license. If you start looking across the landscape, they're trying to legislate religion as a reason that you cannot speak out. And it will come to the day, not just only with individuals, but our churches cannot speak out on these issues.
Exactly. Let's go to the phone lines right now. And we have Mike, who's on the air. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing today?
How you doing?
Well, listen, I've listened to what you were talking, and there's a show that comes on PBS called To the Contrary, and it's a moderate feminist show, but what I can see is that there's a culture war going on between moderate feminists and radical feminists. And really, this Kim Davis person kind of represents the moderate feminists, because they think that these radical feminists are going too far in, you know, with their war against men, like, you know, gay rights and all the other things that go with it.
I sure appreciate that, and I think that's a pretty good insight that there are those two groups, and they're having quite a bit of a fight between themselves. Would you refer to Kim Davis as a moderate feminist, Wes?
No, I wouldn't, by any stretch of the imagination. She's a Christian lady who holds to the Christian values.
You know, it's very interesting. Once the devil is against you, he will put in the minds of others all kinds of arguments that are specious and really don't make the point. For example, some people are calling her a hypocrite because she had 3 divorces and other things were going on in her life that don't seem to be Christian. She makes the point that she only became a Christian 4 years ago, and since then has led a proper life in marriage, etc. It would be like saying the Pharisees, you cannot listen to the Apostle Paul because we know that he used to believe that you're saved by works. He also participated in putting Christians to death because of their faith. So how can you listen to him? Well, those arguments are going to fall flat on their face because he had what's called a Damascus Road conversion.
Yes. And therein lies, you know, what we do in our churches every Sunday morning. You know, on a Sunday morning, we confess our sins. I, a poor, miserable sinner. You know, we're all sinful. And in those sins is homosexuality as well, or divorce, or, you know, all these other types of things that they're accusing her of.
You see, What she's trying to do, because the Bible is very clear, when a person does sin, God builds into the creation negative consequences. Just kind of ask the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, who, of course, were homosexuals. There's negative consequences, and so this is why I keep saying that the worst thing the Supreme Court could have done was to make homosexuality legal and gay marriage. You are going to have a real increase in suicides. And mark my words that that's going to happen, and we're not going to blame God. We're not going to blame Christians. It's because people are living a lifestyle that is inappropriate. Going back to the phones, let's talk to Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been thinking about this topic of the Supreme Court deciding that gay sexual unions are marriage. And I was thinking, in light of the Catholic Church considers marriage a sacrament, I've just been wondering, did the Supreme Court actually establish a religion by saying that this gay sexual unions are marriage?
Let me ask you this question. When they declared, the Supreme Court, that black people did not have rights of a person, would you say they established a religion?
Oh boy, I haven't been thinking about that. So
see, it's the same thing.
Yeah, answer.
And remember, they also said that Indians were not proper people with personal rights.
There's the religion of evolution of origins.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. But I would say that they made themselves God. Once you take what God has easily decided to be a marriage between a man and a woman, and you now say we're now going to consider marriage between a man and a man, or a woman or a woman, the first thing the church needs to say is, you might think that that's legal, like abortion is legal. God considers abortion the murder of a baby, and he never recognizes a gay marriage as a proper marriage. So all of the benefits of being properly married are lost to gay couples. And so I would say, yes, it is a different religion. Wouldn't you say, Wes?
Yes, I think that's well taken, well pointed out.
One would call it humanism, and particularly today, Cheryl, it was very good you brought up evolution. In the theory of evolution, there are no morals. You can be whatever you want, and so therefore, I've said on this program, since they declared that Kim Davis should go to jail, they have no argument against Muslim countries that put homosexuals in jail because it's against the law to be a homosexual. So you can use the same arguments for Muslims who are radical, that there is no right for a person to be a homosexual. They're breaking the laws of the land, even for religious reasons. And therefore, we are now siding with radical Muslims in putting homosexuals in jail, because that's the new religion, and that's the religious point of view in a Muslim country.
It basically takes Christ out of the Christian.
Absolutely. That's well said. I sure appreciate your call, Cheryl.
Yeah, thanks.
In fact, I was doing Bible studies this week, and one of the things I like to say is, many a time when I ask a question, I often like to hear Jesus as the answer. How, in your view, Wes, is Jesus taken out of this whole conversation?
Well, as you listen to these and read these articles or listen to them over the airwaves, those that are talking about it as a civil rights case are basically coming out and saying religion has nothing to do with it. Well, Jesus has nothing to do with it. You know, they come up with these placards that says, love won. Well, love did win, but it won at the cross, and Christ died for all sins, which were for homosexuality, and that's where they take that out. I think a few weeks back, you really came up with a good distinction about from the Greek there on love, and I think it bears for you to bring that out again.
Yes, the Greek has a number of words for love, and unfortunately, the English only translates love. This word that also is love is not never found in the Bible. The two words found are agape and phileo. Agape, sacrificial love; phileo, that love you have towards a brother. But there's another word, eros, where we get the word erotic. And that's the love that homosexuals have for each other. It's a love contrary to the will of God. It isn't a sacrificial love toward the others, no matter what they want to say. It's a fleshly love. It's concupiscence. And that's why the majority of Christians in the world belong to denominations that believe that homosexual behavior is an abomination before Almighty God.
I think that's the point Will made. And if you remember the Duck Dynasty controversy about a year ago,
yep,
where one of them came out and said that those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God, that coming from 1 Corinthians 6, but right after that, and such were some of you, but you are washed and sanctified, you know, so there is forgiveness for those sins and the sins of anyone who confesses them before Christ.
Yes. Now, that last point is really important. We're going to be talking about the Roman Catholic Church tomorrow on Open Mic Friday and their laws on how to get rid of your marriage, which are going to make it a lot easier for us. But one of the things the Pope did say that was misstated by a number of newspapers is that he was giving the right of priests of giving forgiveness to women who had an abortion. And what they often left out is women who had an abortion who were now repentant of what they had done. And
right,
not just willy-nilly giving the forgiveness of sins, regardless of your particular sin. There needs to be repentance, which is contrition and a recognition that what has been done is wrong in the sight of God. And the reason we pastors don't give forgiveness to those who don't do that, it's a sign that they're still living in a state of unbelief. Well, we need to be careful here. You mentioned the civil rights. Love wins. When I first saw that sign, I thought they were talking about Kim Davis. Yes, because out of love for homosexuals, she did what she had to do. It would be like, and this has happened, by the way, there are certain states that allow you to sell marijuana now, legally. Now, imagine a 8-year-old comes into your store and wants to buy it. Now, maybe in some states you have to be a certain age, so he sends his older brother in who is of that age, and you know about it, and you sell it to the older brother so the 8-year-old can get on marijuana, which has been proven to lead to worse drugs. Cocaine, for example. I was just watching women in prison who were addicted, and it was almost impossible to get them out of their addiction. As soon as they got back on the street, they would go back to their prostitution in order to buy more cocaine. This is really a horrible thing. And we as Christians need to regard them with sympathy and compassion and try and help them through their problems as the way that Christ has helped us through our problems. There's no distinction in problems, but there is a distinction between those who look to Christ in contrast to those who don't.
That's a point well taken, and that's where we started at the beginning. And on Sunday morning, we confess our sins, all our sins, and we hear those words of absolution from our pastors in the pulpit. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in his stead and by his command, I forgive you all your sins.
Yes, another statement that I found in down at Milbank, and I tell you, none of his arguments persuaded me to change my mind. In fact, they persuaded me to keep it. He makes this statement. Our system of government gives the Supreme Court final say over constitutional matters. The court ordered states to recognize same-sex marriages. Well, the court also recognized that the laws against blacks were okay. You know, about where they can sit on the bus, what water fountains they can drink from. The Supreme Court upheld those laws. And to say, therefore, that once that occurs, we need to obey it, we'd still have slavery today if you listen to these liberal writers who say that religion shouldn't impinge on your lifestyle.
You're right. There was one out of Politico by John Cole Hayne. He makes some of the similar type argument, but he goes a step further and says the reason we have the problems with the Kim Davises and others who are against this is because of the dissenting judges. They're the problems because the majority has already made a decision.
Yes, well, we're seeing this more and more. And for many people, what the Supreme Court did was just contrary to the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, whether or not that's going to be able to be changed in the future, as they did change it about Indians and blacks, I don't know. But I'll tell you, if it's not changed and people start living those lifestyles, the church really has to take a strong stand. First of all, saying we do not recognize, from God's point of view, that these are marriages, that they may think they're marriages, just like people think that abortion is something that God okays. No, it's not. And so looking at it from God's point of view, a Christian has quite a different point of view, and we're not going to be put in a position where we're going to join with the wanderings and the thoughts of the devil.
I would agree. And that's pretty much where we started out with Daniel chapter 3, and then later with Daniel and Lions and the three men in the fiery furnace. You know, you can come up with all kinds of laws, but if they don't really keep Christ as the central focus point, got to forget it.
That's why one way you can tell whether a pastor or a priest or any religious leader is truly a Christian one is whether or not they're going to officiate at a gay marriage. If they're going to do that, then from God's point of view, this is not a Christian pastor. Because a Christian pastor is to keep the word of God straight and do the sacraments appropriately. And this is not happening, of course, when you join. Remember, all the children in your congregation are therefore hearing from this so-called pastor that homosexual activity is okay in God's eyes. And you quoted that Corinthians passage that those who practice this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, we got to make real clear what practice means. It just doesn't mean that you've done homosexual activity, because, as you said, Paul indicates some of you were like that, but that you not only do it, but you love to do it. You're never repentant of it. You don't feel bad about it. And so there's no repentance at all. And that's where we as Christians cannot make judgments as to whether somebody who is practicing, from our point of view, homosexuality is going to heaven or hell, because we can't read their hearts. Who knows what God puts in their heart near the moment of their death?
Right. And they can't make those changes and come around the other direction. It's a mess, isn't it?
It is a mess, and it's very interesting that the majority of Christians belong to denominations that oppose not only women ordination, not only abortion, also gay marriage. And the church just has to become more of a voice so that people will have the answers needed.
Yeah, right. And I think we need to start, I think you stated it well, a church or a pastor that says gay rights is okay, the gay marriage is okay, living in homosexuality, they're not following Christ.
That's exactly right. And today's message to you who are listening, do not be afraid to read articles written by those who think that Kim Davis is wrong. See if there are any arguments that persuade you away from support of her. In fact, the more I read, the more they change history, the more they make statements about the Supreme Court that simply these statements are not true. And I'm confident that when somebody is against the Word of God and they argue against it, if you read it, study it, and meditate upon it, you will be even more convinced that your position is correct, because their arguments are just really quite ridiculous, and they don't stand up to historical scrutiny. Just because the Supreme Court says something doesn't mean that every time they did that, they needed to be obeyed. And if they had been, Indians and blacks would still not be persons.
I think you bring up an excellent point. And especially, it shouldn't be lost that when they read these arguments, they compare them to what the scriptures have to say, what the Word of God has to say on the matter.
Exactly. And that's why I like Wes Reimnitz being on with me, because he always brings up the Word of God, and that's what KFUO is all about. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, and also on tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Roman Catholics annulment procedure, where, boy, you will be surprised as how you can get an annulment. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.